Good morning, everyone. It's fantastic to see a nice crowd of people here on the next day of the Debian conference in Taiwan, here in Taipei. We had beautiful days already here at the conference. We had a nice excursion, and we are now here with full power again. And Thomas Lange is here in front of us, showed already some good spirit when he came in here. So thanks everyone for joining us. Also thanks for joining us here online. And Thomas, you are from Germany,
yes.
From Cologne.
Yeah.
We had an interview many years ago,
yeah.
Which was big fun. And I'm looking forward to hear more about FAI, fully automatic installation, and the next steps that you're doing here with your project. So thanks for joining us, and big round of applause for Thomas.
Thank you very much for the introduction. Today I want to talk about FIME, which is a build server for creating installation and cloud images. So I'm a sysadmin for more than 2.5 decades at the University of Cologne. I became a Debian developer a long time ago, and in 1999 I had to install a cluster of some very old computers, or in those days that were the very recent computers. And I was thinking about doing something automatic, because before I was using SunOS, and there was an automatic installer called Jumpstart, and some ideas I put into FAI, because there was no preceding at this time in Debian, so we invented the fully automatic installation for Debian. I'm giving a lot of talks. They are all on FAI, and I also do some FAI training for companies. So what was my motivation? A neighbor came to me and she said, oh, my Windows 10 PC is broken, can you fix it? And I tried to fix it, but it didn't work. But she was very open to say, oh, you can also install Linux on it. And then I said, oh, what will I do? How would I install Linux on her computer? And I was thinking, yeah, oh, I did this great tool FAI. Would this work for her? And I saw, oh no, the target audience of FAI was, or is still, mainly the advanced system administrators. And also, I also looked at the Debian installer, and I thought, this is also not very easy for beginners. So, and this was the motivation to look again on FAI, and to see if I can make this much more easier for beginners. So the idea is, let's create an installer which should cover most installation. The Debian installer is very, very good because he has a lot of very, very good features. You can do mostly everything with it. But we could create an installer that is much easier if we only want to cover like 90 or 95% of our users, of our beginner users, and advanced users still will use their tools and the configuration management. So just ignore the special cases. And I wanted to ask all the questions that the Debian installer is asking at the beginning, but also during the installation. I want to ask all questions in the very beginning. And then if we have all the information what the users want to install, we could create a customized installation image. Then we could boot this installation image. The installation would run fully unattended, and then the computer is ready. And there are three things that reminds me, oh, creating some customized configuration, boot the media, go get a coffee, come back, and the computer is ready. This is what FAI was made for. So, as I said, it's for experienced system admins. You have to adjust some config files, which are text files, but a normal user would never edit config files. So what I invented was now the FIME service. And the FIME service is a web service, and I'm not a web programmer. I hate web programming. So even I had the idea sometime before, I started this when I was sick and laying in the bed for 2 weeks, and I had good Wi-Fi in my bed. So that's the time when I say, okay, let's do some web programming. So this is the web page. It's not on the fai.me domain, not yet. So it's on the it's a subdirectory or an URL of the fai-project.org webpage. And as you see, we have, is this big enough? Or should I increase? Is this good? Okay. It describes, you can create your own customized installation media. All data will be overwritten. So currently this, you cannot create an image which will preserve your Windows partition. So first we ask for a username and a user password. If it's not set, we will generate one and show it to you. But I will just enter FAI. Then you can select your language. And during the DevConf, I just added the Chinese, Hindi, and Japanese. This was very easy. This was like 5 lines of configuration code. So it's very easy to extend this. So you can select a distribution. Currently, we have Stretch and Buster. And you can also enable the backports for Stretch. So it's very easy to say, oh, I want to install a machine with the backports kernel, just one click, and you will get this. You can select a desktop. I will select the XFCE desktop here. We have some collections of packages, which you can also enable. And you can also add your own package names. So I will just type this one and GIMP, so MC, the Midnight Commander, and maybe Moon Buggy. So there's an optional email address. If you put in the email address, you will receive an email with the configuration, but also you will be getting information when your customized image was made, so it's ready. You do not need to use it, so, and then you just say create installation image. What I'm doing is that I always configure the system with a 105 key PC keyboards, because that's very common. The local time is set to UTC, so all this things, there are a lot of things you can do with the keyboard configuration language. You can have very different combinations. But if somebody selects a German desktop, I say, oh, most people would like to have the German keyboard, and also the time zone should be set to German, but with UTC, it's fine for all. And I also have here the commands. This is not for a beginner, but if you want to change the time zone and so on. So then you just say, create my image. And now it's working. So what's working behind this, there's no job. So this is the first job. And then a computer reads the configuration. This is a summary of the configuration. And this web page is reloaded every 45 seconds or something like this. And when the creation of the installation image is finished, the web page changes. It will take about 1 minute, then it should be finished. So let's reload. Not finished yet. Maybe, yeah, now. Let's see, still not finished. Currently processed. Okay, you see, it has been finished in 65 seconds. There's a URL where you can download the ISO image, and you can also download a log file. So when the image is created, we have to create a partitional package mirror, and there's a command called fimirror, and you can download the log file. And the most important information, I will tell a little bit more later, is the fi-config space. You can also download it. So you have every information, the fi configuration space, and at the very bottom you see the two commands that were used for creating this customized image. So you can rebuild this customized image on your own. I do not download this now, because I prepared one image which I already have here, and now I have a wrapper so I can call a KVM machine with some network settings, and I say please boot. It says create a KVM machine with some network settings, boot from CD, and the ISO image is this one. So let's see if this works. Full screen mode. Need some time. So now this ISO image is booting up. And currently the local disk, which is just an empty disk, is already partitioned. You see there are some partat commands and mkfs ext4 commands which are executed. And now you see that locales and a lot of packages are installed, and the path is /media/mirror. So the packages are inside the ISO image. So everything you need is on the ISO image. You could even do the installation without networking. But since you want to have network later, when the desktop runs, I do the installation also with network. So, and this is now the fully unattended installation with the configuration that we clicked on the web page. What I will show you now is that I go back. So we added a simple toggle. So in the beginning, the first version of this web page had a lot of more questions, and this is a toggle between some basic settings and some more advanced. And in the advanced mode, you also will be asked for a root password. If you not supply this, sudo will be configured. You can upload your SSH public key for accessing the root account. You can enter your GitHub account, and then we just do a wget from the GitHub also to receive the public key. We have different disk partitioning schemes. You can say, oh, just, and this is like in the Debian installer, where you have just one partition, or one partition using LVM, or a separate home partition, or a home partition using LVM. And this is, yeah, these are the three or four additional information you can enter if you toggle to the advanced settings. So let's see. Any questions so far? Okay. So you see now the Linux image 4.17 is installed, and this is the backports kernel. So we have a stable, Debian stable, but with the backports kernel that's currently installed. So after all the packages are installed, there will be some customization scripts executed, and I will point you to this later. These are shell scripts that add a user, set the password, do some customization on, I guess, what do we have, etc, message of today, and so everything that you want to customize can be done with shell scripts, or if you have some different configuration management, it would be possible to add. So now you see executing Debian 40, Debian 30 interface, executing demo 10 MISC. These are the customization scripts. And then the installation is finished. We call the df command to see which partitions are mounted. You see we have a /target/target boot and /target home directory. /target is the mount point where we change root into it to install all the packages. And we see the installation took 215 seconds, and then the installation stops. So this is not completely unattended, but this is just for showing it. It's very easy to set a flag, which then will not stop at the very end, but just reboots the computer. So I just type return. we already boot from ISO, but no, the boot order is look at the disk and then at the ISO. So Debian was the user, FAI password. I switch to full screen mode. How does this look over there? Yeah. Ah, yeah, I'm not sure if it's really the same. Can say it's the same. Okay. So you see, this is a XFCE desktop. And as you see, the configuration was the configuration using LVM and a separate home partition. We have the 4.70 kernel. The Debian version. Oh, I created a Buster thing. So this Midnight Commander tool was added. The Moon Buggy package is there, so yeah, and also GIMP was added, so very easy to just add your packages and to create a new machine. So we'll just stop, throw it away, going back to my slides. So what did we see? It's very easy to create an installation media which also works on USB stick. You just have to do some clicks on a web page. You can select certain things, and like distribution, the desktops. We have different disk partitioning schemes. You can add a public repository. And now the same for cloud images. Now you saw an installation image. What we also can do is, and we go on this link, creating a disk image which can be used in a cloud environment, in a VMware, VirtualBox, KVM environment. There you can select how big should the local disk be. We could say 5 gigabyte, we can select different formats. There, you can set the host name, the root password. I set it to, we'll set this to PHY. Oops, we don't need this. A user password, also set to PHY. US English, we will just use the stable distribution with the text console. And maybe just MC and Moon Buggy. And I will now add my email address and then say create image. So this will not be the ISO image which runs the installation, but I will get the raw.z standard. So this is new type of compression which is very, very nice, very fast. So it's very good for big files. And this will last a little bit longer because we have not just to collect all the packages and put the packages and the live system and the PHY software onto an ISO, but we have to run the installation into a disk image. So while this is running, we have some more ideas what we could do with the FIME service. First, make it more dynamic. That was done during the mini DevConf in Hamburg, thanks to Yuri who did this. So this needs some JavaScript thing in the web page. And as I said, I'm not very good in doing web programming. We could do create images for non-AMD 64 architectures. This is very easy because PHY can build cross-architecture images. So it's mostly extending the web page and maybe a few things in the tools that process the jobs, these web jobs. Phi can also install other distributions, so it would also be possible to create an Ubuntu installation image or a CentOS cloud image. In the Debian cloud team, we already have some Phi configurations for the major cloud providers. So currently I'm using the default Phi configuration that are in the Phi package. But if we would use the configuration from the Debian cloud team, we could create ready-to-go images for the cloud providers. Another idea is to create a generic image. So you do not need a customized image, but you could use a generic image that you boot, and in the very first beginning, it asks the job ID that you've created on the web page. So I tested it, so there's a proof of concept. You boot this generic image, it asks for the job ID, so just these letters and chars, and then the live image will receive the configuration and will download the packages just from a Debian mirror. This works could also work very easily. Phi could also create live images. So another idea is to extend this, that somebody says, oh, I do not need an installation image, but a live image. So, and if you want to do more customization, then this is the next step, that you set up a Phi server by yourself and do everything in your on your own Phi server. But Phi server does not mean this web service, but Phi is normally using a Pixie boot network setup where you have a Phi server and the client installs via network card, and that's what I mean, set up your own Phi server. So let's see. The disk or cloud image has been finished in 80 seconds. It's only 250 megabytes big, although I said the disk image of the machine that I want to boot is 5 gigabytes. This is because it's a spare file and most bits are zero. I copy the link location, and now I try if the download is fast enough. Oh yeah, okay. This is the download. So again, here we see the log file. We could have a look at it. This is what normally is on the console. The Phi version, you see the Phi version. Then in Phi we have some classes defined. These are the like the Lego bricks that will be put together to have the whole configuration. And then some variables are defined. This is the part, then the disk will be partitioned. You see the part at and mkfs commands that are executed, and then again a lot of packages are installed and set up, configured, and in the end the customization scripts are executed and the log files will be written and so on. So you have the log files of the run of your customized cloud image. And here's the command that was executed for creating it. So the download's finished. Now I have to uncompress this image. And you will see it's very fast to extend the 250 megabytes to a 5 gigabyte file. And I will start it. And now the last call when I started the ISO image with the Phi KVM wrapper, I said Phi KVM CD. Now I say Phi KVM disk, and so I have to distinguish between booting from CD and from disk. So boot the image, and as you see there's no booting up a kernel with the Phi thing, but that's it. The machine is running very, very fast. We can log in as Debian. The password is FAI. And you see just a plain Oh, I guess it's very hard, this white on black. I'm sorry for this. But the Midnight Commander, you see the Midnight Commander was installed. F10. And Moon Buggy is also on this machine. So this was very easy to create some customized VM disk image. So how does FIMI work in the background? So first, what you see is the web server with the web page, but the web server is not the build server. So I have another machine, a virtual machine. The web page has some Perl CGI in the background that validates the input. So you cannot say, oh, please create a disk image of 20 terabytes. No, this will not work. Hopefully, I do some good programming. And then you see every job gets an identifier, and this is in the background a directory. So every job has a directory with the name of the job ID, and there we write a config and a meta file. And also a status file. So for example, if a lot of people are using this service, you will see your job is waiting for processing because another job is currently running. And if the status changes, you will see, oh, your job process is now being processed, or it's done, or there was an error. We have some, this is a one big shell script in the background that reads the directories and looks if there are new jobs and if it has to deal with new jobs. And we have some additional scripts for parsing the logs error. We create, for example, if you want to create a buster image or installation image or a cloud image, every night a new buster NFS route is generated. So you really get the newest version of buster. And we have some monitoring and we clean up the old images. If you create one, you have like 1 to 2 days to download your image, otherwise it will be removed. On this server that is creating the images, we have three different configuration directories for FAI, which are using the name of the distribution, because we need different NFS routes. This is something technical inside FAI. So for each distribution, another NFS route. The FAI configuration space is the same for all distributions. Even if we would install Ubuntu or provide Ubuntu images, we could use the same FAI configuration space. We can read if there's a new job. The directories between the web server and the build server are NFS mounted. We make a copy of the configuration space or of the default configuration space. Then we do some customization. That everything that you click on the web page will be added to the default config space. And then we have two different types. If you want to do the want to have an installation ISO, we first create the partitional package mirror and then create the installation ISO. Or we just create the disk or cloud image. There we do not need the partitional package mirror. Then we update the status, write the log files, and if the user provides an email, we send the email, oh, your job is ready, here's the configuration, and the ISO image will copy it back to the web server. And this is very fast because I love RAM. And if I'm creating disk image, installation image, I always do this in /tmp, which is a tmpfs. So I just throw them away. Very nice. So if you do a lot of things, put some RAM into your machine. So FAI needs an NFS route, a configuration space, and then the important thing, the FAI classes. As I said, it's like the Lego bricks. And every class, it's just a name of a file or a directory, and they define, for example, the class home underscore LVM defines that the partitioning should be an LVM partition with a separate /home partition. The GNOME class defines, oh, please install the GNOME desktop, a list of packages. These are the commands that are used for creating it. This is how the architecture looks If you do the network, if you have your own PHY install server and do the network installation. And on the left side, again, you see the main parts of FAI, the NFS route, which is the live system during the installation. You have the configuration space, which are just some simple text files, and you need access to the Debian mirror. And these three main parts will be put onto the ISO image for the installation. So normally, when you set up an install server and have this network installation running, it's very easy to convert this install server with the two commands into a bootable ISO image. This is an example how the disk partitioning is look like. When we started with PHY, we thought, oh, it should be very easy for a sysadmin who knows how to edit files to create configuration files. And that was the reason why we would never, never, ever used XML. And if you look at this, you will see, oh, this looks a little bit like an etcfs type file. Yes, that was our intention. So we extended this a little bit, and when you see like two or three examples, I'm pretty sure you could create your own configuration if you are a sysadmin. And at the bottom you see which types of file systems we support. We also support software RAID configurations and crypt setups. For the software installation, we have a different configuration file format. We always use this a different subdirectory. This is a subdirectory package config, and there's a file called Debian, which is used if you use the PHY class Debian. And then you have this lines packages install noreg, which means use apt-get minus noreg commands, and then you just list the name of the Debian packages. That's very easy. So, some references. In the past, I was very, very bad in creating web pages. I think like maybe 6 or 7 years ago, maybe it's already 10 years ago, I redesigned my PHY project web page, which has some graphical elements. Before, I only had text, a lot of text with a lot of links, like the Debian web page currently. And I collected, I have a PHY questionnaire, and every time somebody says, oh, I'm using FAI, I say, oh, please fill out the PHY questionnaire. And I started very early in asking, oh, could I use your logo? But it was only half a year ago when I started doing some web programming, web page again, where I put all the logos that I collected over the years. And because I think it's a very good advertisement to say, these are companies that are using or that used FAI in the past. Before it looks like this, I always showed a list of companies, but this is much easier. This is just a nice eye catcher. So at the very bottom, you see the Grimmel project, which is a live CD for sysadmins, is also using FAI since several years for automatic building daily ISO images. So, questions? Yeah, Max.
Do you support the setup of different B2FS subvolumes in one B2FS file system?
Ah, okay. Currently, we have a discussion about subvolumes in ButterFS. I didn't implement the ButterFS support. And I know there were two or three people that said, oh, you're currently, I'm not sure what we support and what we do not support, but there's something with ButterFS subvolumes that we currently not support. And if you are interested in, please contact me. I can point you to some mails. I think it's not that hard, but the only thing that we need, and I'm not sure how to decide it, how to support it? Or do we want to be very, very flexible? Or would it be really easy to say this sort of sub-volumes we support and that's fine for most of the people? So then there's an ongoing discussion, and I think currently we support some sub-volumes, but not what a lot of people like to have. Thomas.
Yes. So there's a few remarks that I made to you about the cloud image. Like I should maybe mention it for the others.
Yeah.
Like
let's go.
Your web page shows how to customize the SSH key, root password, and user. These are all things that are normally configured by CloudInit.
Yeah.
Do you intend to remove that later, or what are you going to do with it?
I would guess, I would like to distinguish between the cloud image for the cloud providers, but still have the option that you can say, I want to use this disk image just in a local VMware VirtualBox machine. So maybe the also with the host name.
But then that's not a cloud image.
Yeah. So we just have to distinguish. There's an installation image, a disk image for a VM, and a cloud image. And you're completely right that cloud image, all people will use cloud image, and then some options that we have on the web page has to be removed. Maybe we can have a toggle, use cloud image or do not use cloud image, and then you get different things.
That was my other question. Like, you never mentioned CloudInit, and by seeing the page here, I see disk image format. I don't see cloud provider type, meaning that there is no way to configure, for example, the data source list of CloudInit. Probably that's desirable to have that, and also to have the different agents in the image as well.
The different agents could be added here, just with the packages. But you're completely right. This is the part where I use the word cloud for some advertising because it's very catchy. But you're right; these are not really ready to go cloud image for the main cloud providers.
And like, do you also add things like PCI hot plug configuration, block device hot plug, and such things, or it's not yet?
I would guess the kernel would care about.
No, you do need to configure it. If you know, you need to load the modules. So it needs to go in etc mode probe.d or something.
Okay, I didn't know that there are some special configuration needed for PCI hot plug.
It's like otherwise you just plug block device with the whatever cloud command, and then the VM doesn't see it.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure that for having a ready-to-go cloud image, there's still some work to do. And I hope I could just copy this from the Debian Cloud team configuration. Hi.
Hi. So two questions for you.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll go. So you mentioned CentOS. Is that something that you are doing right now, or that's an aspiration?
No, I can do this.
You can do CentOS?
Yeah, I did it on my own several times.
Okay, great. The second question is about a user scenario I wonder if you're thinking about. So for many people who build custom images, for updates, they also want to be able to control the sets of packages that get installed onto the machine. I think you mentioned that when creating the installation image, you create a package repository?
Yeah.
Okay. So I wonder if that's... so the scenario, I imagine, is if that package repository gets saved, and then someone can repeat the build of the installation over time, then the updates will get into that repository and then be able to get onto the user system. So I don't know if that's a scenario
so
you've considered.
So for the installation image, as you see, you can add one public repository here. Mm-hmm. So, and when you add the URL of the repository and create your installation image, I will download this package from this local repository and put it on the ISO, on the installation ISO.
Right.
I hope I did it right, that I also configure sources.list correctly, that this URL will also go into the installed system. And then you can do normal upgrades.
Okay.
Is this...
Yeah, I think that's what we're looking for. So a scenario that's very common for, so I'm from Microsoft, and we see often for Azure, for customers, when they are deploying updates to their machines, it's very painful for them. They don't want to do unattended updates because some patch might get on that breaks their application.
Yeah.
So they want to have control over which packages. Yeah. So if the packages can get put into a repository that they can test, before making that available for their end machines, that would be a very
So Phi will put the package onto the ISO image, but after the installation, there will be only the entry in the sources list remain, because the package was installed and it will be not be copied onto the machine. I guess there's no need for it.
Yeah.
After the installation. And how you do the upgrades, if you use unattended upgrades or have a cron job or whatever, this can easily be configured, and there's nothing that Phi says you have to do it in this way.
Right. Okay. So I'm thinking of a slightly a scenario that extends beyond that, but I'll talk with you later.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it also possible from the web interface to add manual configuration to added packages? For example, if I add unattended upgrades, can I also add a configuration file?
No, currently it's not possible to add configuration files to this web interface. I guess you should set up your own Phi server, and then you can do everything in the Phi config space. So then the web interface is really or mostly for the beginners that don't want to add their configurations, but just want to say, unattended installation with some customization is very nice. It's much easier than writing a DI preceding file, so I just click and have an installation media. But this is very easy if you set up your own Phi server. You can put all the configuration files, and they can... We have a command called fcopy, so which knows about the Phi classes, and if you have different templates of a configuration that should be used for different Phi classes, for example, you have a Phi class department A, department B, or location C and location D, then it's very easy to put all the templates into a directory, and fcopy will know which class to use and copies the correct configuration file into the target directory. So we still have,
Okay, I also have a question about that. So you can set up your own Phi server, but on your GitHub repository there are no license files. So I don't know. I think you forgot to add them. So we don't actually know what is the license of the project on your GitHub repositories?
No, since the Phi packages are in Debian, you know that's an open source license. And there's a README file, and the README file also says that this is GPL 2 plus.
Yeah.
So the whole Phi
website
software.
Itself.
The website itself and the background script is not yet open source. So if anyone is interested in it, come to me and we will see how to.
So at Force Asia, we have a project that is related, where we have a lot of events and we want some configurations like no screen server, no desktop notifications, things like that. So we also wrote a small script to set up event computers like that. So I think it would be an overlap, but I wasn't sure how could that align. Maybe we can talk about this in detail more. And basically would be great to have more options for additional configurations for these kind of things. Headless clients. So I think with the cloud is very interesting, but as we are moving also to headless client. Like, let's say there's Google Home, there's Alexa Echo, but we also see a number of like free software projects that work on like these kind of boxes that don't have a user interface. Maybe we can also put in options like that into Phi.
Again, which options do
like,
we
like, you
need?
Know, like the Google Home or Alexa Echo like devices?
For the embedded devices, sure. It would be very nice to, and Rico will talk after my talk about FAI using on embedded, on ARM devices. We could create or extend this service to, say, create an image for a Raspbian Pi with some very easy customizations. Yeah, so we can do a lot of things using FAI. And more question, should I create another image? Or are you already using the service and maybe I didn't get it, that my service is currently overloaded? So if there are no questions, oh, another question.
Okay, since you mentioned creating embedded images, have you had a look at how FAI compares to, there's another group that's working on something called Debian, which uses Debian packages with Yocto. So for embedded image creation, how would FAI compare to what Yocto has?
So the most important difference to Bitbake, Yocto, and all the other tools in the embedded field is that they're often compile or build the packages from scratch because they want to have some certain compile options or remove things. Debian starts at the package level, so I do not care about building the kernel from scratch or whatever. Debian is just doing the normal debootstrap stuff, or for embedded devices, first create a DD image loopback device, and then adding packages to it and customizing it. And in the embedded world, a lot of tools recompile everything and collect the licenses. So that's the main difference. I start from the level of packages.
Okay, and so the image types that could be supported and the different board support packages, all of those could be support for all of those could be?
Yeah, sure. Then if there's an official package repository which I can use and just change root into my empty disk image and call the package installation step, that can be done. Also cross architecture, that's very nice.
Oh, and you will support cross architecture?
It's working since maybe a year or half a year for and not only for ARM 64. Okay, Rico says works. Okay,
it
works like this.
Okay, thank you.
So, how much time do we have? 2 minutes. Any more question? Okay, if not, thank you very much, and stay here to her and listen at Rico's talk about FAI and ARM architecture.